Good morning, friends. We bring to you another opportunity for us to open up the precious Word of God and to find out what He has to say to us in these four Gospels. For those of you who are just tuning in, may I suggest that we are following through a survey of the whole New Testament, starting with the book of Matthew and going through every book of the New Testament, just in a brief survey. And I'm afraid that I'm giving more than a survey, but sometimes it's hard for me not to bring in some of these wonderful, simple truths en route for your own heart. But I want you to be exercised in your own heart before God. And we're studying together the Gospel through Luke, the Gospel of Jesus Christ as the servant of Jehovah, fulfilling the work of His Father. And we're down to chapter 7, where the scribes and the Pharisees were rebuked by the Savior. We have here the opposition of tradition, and of how by their tradition, by adding to the Word of God, they were making the Word of God of none effect. In other words, they were defeating that which God wanted to be done in the lives of those who read the Word of God. And as I say, it's true today, where too many have been led astray by additions to the Word of God. The Word is complete. And we're not to be ruled by the tradition of any group, whoever they may be. We must be governed by the Word of God. And if you are afraid as to what the Word of God teaches, may I suggest to you, the important thing, first of all, is your own relationship to Him, not your relationship to some group, though I am not opposed to that. But primarily, I'm after one thing, that you come into right relationship with the Savior. This is a personal matter. And life doesn't come to you until you are in right relationship with Him. And then when you come into relationship with Him, walk with Him. And then take the Word of God and read it continually, daily. And the Spirit of God, ask the Spirit of God, be very frank about it. Ask the Lord to make very clear to you that which you read, you might be built up in Him and become a wonderful channel for God to use to our generation. And we were finishing up yesterday with the defilement of the human heart, that which we do outwardly doesn't defile us, it's that which comes from the inside. For out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, and so on, as you find it in chapter 7. Now, we come now to the second main division in the Gospel through Mark. The second main division, His ministry among the Gentiles. This is a general division from chapter 7, 24 to the end of chapter 9. And if I may just say very briefly on this division, again we see the wonderful way in which our Savior meets the needs of people. Here's a Canaanite woman. This is another one of those stories I love. Do you mind if I just say a little word about it? The Lord came into the coast of the Gentiles, and this woman was a Canaanite. Matthew says she was a Syrophoenician woman, a woman under the curse. She's got a daughter who's very sick. She's vexed of the devil. And she came to Jesus Christ and wanted help. But you notice that she came on the wrong ground. She's a Canaanite. She has no place in the Son of David. In Jesus, the Son of God, yes. In the Lord, yes. But she came on the wrong ground when she said, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." You remember at the end of chapter 7? And Jesus said to her, "The children first have got to be filled. I can't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, I'm a dog, but the dogs eat the crumbs. Give me some crumbs." And he said to her, "For this saying, go thy way. The devil has gone out of thy daughter." And when she got home, she found that her daughter was relieved, freed, delivered. Now, Mark makes a very simple method about this. You find more of it in Matthew. But you see, this woman had come to Jesus with a need. But she'd come on the wrong ground. She had no rights in the Son of David. Son of David was for Israel. You see. And I'm quoting, by the way, mostly from Matthew, because Matthew gives you more detail. Mark tells us that she came and she fell at his feet. And it says here the woman was a Greek or a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth a dire. And Jesus said, "I've got to feed the children first. I can't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Matthew tells us that she came and said, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he ignored her, you remember. And the disciples wanted the Lord to meet her need and said, Lord, the only way to get rid of that woman is to meet her need and send her away, because she's bothering us. She never bothered the Lord. And Jesus said, I can't do it. I'm sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Dog I am, but the dogs must have the crumbs. And Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, O woman, great is thy faith, go thy way. The Lord, I say it again, the Lord will never turn a hungry soul down. This woman meant business, and Jesus meant business. But there are ways to come to him. And today we Gentiles can come to him. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the one who died to put away your sins by the sacrifice of himself. And we who are redeemed, we who are his children, can come because he's our Lord, our Savior. We have access to the very throne of God. As Hebrews chapter 4:16 says, Let us come with boldness to the throne of grace, and there obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Oh, how wonderful he is in meeting our need. And again I say, am I talking to somebody? You have a real need? Why not come to him? You've tried everybody else. And the more people you meet, the more confused you are. Isn't that true? Why not come to him? Take your Bible and kneel in his presence. Have the Lord talk to you through his word, and then you talk to him. Just lay your whole load at his feet. He'll meet your need. He'll pick up the burden for you. Don't pray about your burden and pick it up again. Leave your burden with him. See. So you have this ministry among the Gentiles. And he finds some hungry people and he feeds them. And then he's followed by the Pharisees, who are spiritually blind. And our Savior warns the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees and scribes and the Herodians. And of course, as I said a while ago, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod was the traditionalism. And they were the religious party, the Pharisees. They were the politicians of the day. And we ought to be warned today about the leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven isn't good. May I just drop you for a minute? Leaven isn't good. Leaven is evil. People talk about the leaven of the gospel. There's no such thing. In Scripture, leaven is looked upon as evil. You go back through your Old Testament. Before they could worship God, they had to clean their houses of leaven. Get rid of it. And he warns us of the leaven of the Pharisees. He warns us of the leaven of the Sadducees. He warns us of the leaven of the Herodians. Just like in the Galatian church, the leaven of legalism. In the Corinthian church, the leaven of worldliness and carnality. Now he warns them about this question, especially of traditionalism, of legalism. And he warns them about it. Then following this, our Lord begins to reveal his program. Why he came. Three times the Lord Jesus did this. It's a wonderful portion of Scripture. You had it in Matthew chapter 16 and 17. We have it here in the Gospel through Mark. He reveals his person and goes on to the end of chapter 8 into chapter 9. And by the way, it comes to a real turning point. A real turning point in this gospel, just as it was a turning point in Matthew's gospel. It's a turning point here. I said at the very beginning, introducing this book of Mark, it's full of miracles, power. But after he has related his program, that he's got to go to Jerusalem, die, he's coming down toward the end of his ministry. From this time forth, he's going to go on his way to Jerusalem to die, to suffer and die and be buried and be raised again. It's a turning point in his ministry. And only twice after this, only two times, does the Lord perform any miracles in Mark. And that was to individual faith, as we shall see. Just like the Lord today, He answers to individual faith meets our needs. So you have the revelation of his purpose and of his program in the end of chapter 8 and going through into chapter 9. And coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he meets the unbelief of his disciples. You remember, he came down and found a man whose son was demon-possessed, and the disciples were trying to cast him out and couldn't. They had had some wonderful experiences of doing this before. They went out two by two with his authority, cast out demons. Now a man came, and nine of them couldn't cast him out. Why can't we? Why can't we? Is it possible that they were depending upon past experiences instead of depending upon the Lord? How easy it is for us. We've had experiences with God, and we, instead of looking to him daily for new meat or for a new walk with him, we try to go on past experience, and the first thing we know, we're in failure. So it is here. And please don't excuse unbelief. Unbelief is the product of an evil heart. Oh, how terrible unbelief is. And I feel I'm talking to some this morning who need to be warned about this. Don't play with unbelief, my friend. It's a terrible thing. To even question the Word of God. To quarrel with the Word of God. I'm not saying we shouldn't study it. We shouldn't examine it. Of course we should. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. Spiritual with spiritual. But unbelief. I may not understand some things that the Lord says, but I shouldn't be full of unbelief. The time will come when I will understand it, when my capacity for truth will be so increased that I shall be able to understand these things that we may not understand today. There must be growth. There must be an enlargement of spirit, of hunger, of capacity. Keep on reading it. Keep on studying it. And even though you don't understand it, enjoy it, feast upon it, and revel in him. And I close again with saying, unbelief is a terrible thing. As Paul says in Hebrews chapter 3, it's the product of an evil heart. Am I talking to you, friend? Why not accept the Savior? Why not come into real relationship with him? Accept him and pass from death to life. Do that today. And Christian friend, you believe what the Lord of glory has revealed to you. Be obedient to his word, and the Lord wonderfully bless you for his name's sake.